in South Africa, 15% of the population can swim. So 85% can't really engage with water systems. And yet we ask from them to protect them. You can't protect something that you don't care for. You don't care for something that you've never experienced. Captain Van Plastic is a pirate. And he looks for all the plastic treasures out there, because pirates are obviously treasure hunters. But what if we change that narrative of what the value actually is of waste? Sustainability is a privilege, to be honest. But that doesn't mean that it's not relevant for example, people living in townships, right? You can't go from one day of buying everything in packaging to like trying to have non-packaging. Don't be too harsh for yourself, because if you set too high goals, like, you won't reach them, you get frustrated. There's no such place as a way. If anybody can point me out on a map where a way is, where you're throwing it away, take me there. I'll give you all the Captain Van Plastic books that I have. I don't think it exists.
For nature.
For the ocean.
For people.
For animals.
Hello, beautiful Sanos Planet community. It's amazing that you're here today again. So beautiful. Thank you so much. And I would like to introduce you to an amazing person I got to know a few months ago, because we are allowed to support his NGO. And I'm so happy about that. Ruben Hazelzet. First of all, welcome, Ruben, in this podcast. It's amazing that you take some time for us and share your knowledge with us. Thank you so, so, so much.
Thank you. I'm very much looking forward to it.
For everybody who doesn't know Ruben, or who didn't hear about him yet, Ruben is the founder of the Soapbox South Africa, and therefore also the founder of the Captain Van Plastic. And the Captain Van Plastic should maybe ring a bell in everyone's ears, because we supported this NGO in September, in the September voting. And I'm very happy about that. You are active in 11 countries worldwide, Ruben, with your NGO. So I'm happy to hear all about it. So let's go right to the point. But at first, I found on your website a beautiful explanation of what Captain Van Plastic is doing, what you are doing. So I want to just read that, that everybody knows exactly what this podcast will be about. So your goal: raising environmental literacy amongst youth globally through experiential education that drives behavioral change in order to connect children more to their environment, prevent plastic pollution, and create better waste management. I love it. It's amazing. It's something that I kind of have done a little part of it in my life as an activist. So my first question for you is, how did that all start? I mean, there is always a story behind a project. What is yours? Tell us a little bit about you. How did it get to that point?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of kind of like factors that led to the birth of this friendly pirate. So the first one is just like moving to South Africa and seeing all its wonders and being in awe by, you know, the ocean everywhere, the mountains, the ability to, yeah, hike some incredible trails, but also to surf or to swim. Or the water is very cold in South Africa, so it's often a short plunge. But that's, I think, the first step. But then with that comes also that you see its challenges and how, in this case, pollution is affecting all these wonders that you see in South Africa. So as I'm a behavioral designer, behavioral economist, I always look at things in society and things that I'm passionate about and that I want to change. So seeing that kind of like made me feel like, okay, I want to think and develop a project that could contribute to preserving all these beautiful things that we see around us. Then the second thing was that I was asked to do a behavioral design workshop for a local university during the Volvo Ocean Race in Cape Town. And they developed this really amazing turtle made, repurposed from plastic bottles. And the idea was that visitors of the Volvo Ocean Race would pick up a cap and then screw it on this bottle turtle, so that they had this interaction with the challenges of some of the marine life is facing. But these students were engineers, and yeah, not all engineers are like that, but sometimes they're a bit shy. And I wanted to help them because they created something so lovely. So I dressed up like a plastic captain and with all these different attributes. And then when I was doing that, suddenly the name Captain Fantastic popped up, and I was like, okay, that's actually a great name to kind of like build something around. And then the third scenario, or the third thing that happened, was that the son of our neighbor, so 5-year-old, came up to me one day. It was like 2 months later, and he was like, why are pirates called pirates? And I'm like, I don't know. And he said, because they are. And then I was like, okay, cool. So, maybe Captain Van Plastic is a pirate, and he looks for all the plastic treasures out there, because pirates are obviously treasure hunters. But what if we change that narrative of, what the value actually is of waste, and how it can still hold value for us as people, and that it's not like a single use, but you think about ways of incorporating in your life, or using it for other things, or also being more aware, obviously, about what you buy or what you use, and how you deal with convenience versus consciousness. Yeah, that kind of like made the idea of like, okay, cool, we're gonna develop a program. And through the cleanups we did, we saw that there were often not many people from the community actually where we were cleaning up. And this is obviously because sustainability is such a privilege, to be honest.
Yes, really.
Unfortunately, but that doesn't mean that it's not relevant for example, people living in townships, and they have so many other things to worry about, but it is affecting them. Like, climate injustice is highest often in these areas. They're hit by drought, wind, water, floods, you name it. So, understanding that maybe like people from our age wouldn't have time for something like that, we thought about focusing in youth programs so that we integrate it into the school program so that we still teach it, and then hopefully the youth can be this catalyst of change and actually take these behaviors home. So that's how Captain Fantastic turned into a storybook, and is basically at its core about storytelling and then driving behavior change through a school program that we bring to schools often based in under-resourced areas or township areas. Yeah.
I love it because there are so many components that I really, really, I see what you tell me. I have seen a lot of plastic waste pollution everywhere. I've seen also the problems of underprivileged communities that just don't have the resources that we have in our country. And then sometimes people here in our country say, oh yeah, there it's a lot of trash, there it's dirty, but not understanding that the resources are in other countries, not the same like they are here. So I think we have to step back a little bit and look at the bigger picture. Where does the trash come from? Because sometimes it comes from our countries, right? So there's so much
Very often.
injustice and that's seen out in the world. And I love projects that are working exactly like yours and that are focusing on this, approaching this change that we come together as communities and helping each other. And I know one of your goals is also turning 1 billion learners, 1 billion kids and youth people into plastic pirates by 2030. I love that goal. And the pictures, probably some of our community remember the picture at the voting tool was a picture with the kids having a plastic cap here on the eye, like the pirate cap in front of the eye. So your neighbor's son in the end started to cr implemented a seed in your mind to change and make something big out of it, right? That's really cool.
No, definitely. And I think also that often when in a creative process, like you won't find answers straight away, but there's these elements that will connect something weird in your brain, and then suddenly it all, comes to life in front of your eyes. And actually, the funny thing is that we are still using that pirate joke, but now in our second book, we have the learning objective there is the captain's 5 R's: refuse, reduce, reuse, repurpose, and recycle. Because pirates are called pirates because they know how to implement the 5 R's. So
Exactly. That's nice.
yeah.
That's really cool. And the 5 R's are exactly the topics that we need to look more into to really create a life that is healthier and more sustainable for everyone worldwide. So that's a really good combination with the pirate. How did it start when you started this project? How did it reach the people? How did you manage to reach the schools? Because you make school programs, education programs, like you tackle a lot of different things that you combine together with your project. How hard was it to come from the seed in your mind to create that to the action of really creating it and bringing people together and joining your project?
I think I don't know, like once I'm very enthusiastic about something, things start to flow. So I think like if you would ask me the biggest learning, because we already were thinking about like how can we scale this. So at our first program, our idea always was like we have our school program, we brief the teachers, we have meetings with them, we tell them how the program works, and then we'll go there and we'll see how they will implement it. And then hopefully one day, well, hopefully from that model, like we can start sending this out to different schools and teachers just take it forward. In any country in the world, teachers are very overburdened and often not earning a lot, which is crazy because they actually are so important for future societies or generations. So like when we had all these meetings with the teacher and then we rocked up at the school and we're like we set everything up and like we walked to the back of the class, we're like, okay, cool, the teacher is gonna do this now. And then the teacher looks at us, she's like, are you guys not facilitating? And we're like, no, you are. And she's like, no. I'm not doing this. And yeah, that made us realize that unfortunately, like now we are actually back in like actually developing do-it-yourself kits and like finding ways to incentivize teachers or rope them into our training, in our training workshops so that they actually learn the program so that there's a continuity after we've been to the school. But at that point it was very clear that we have to bring facilitators from outside of the school to facilitate the program. Because, you know, an average teacher in a township school in South Africa has 50 to 55 children in the class.
Well, one
So,
teacher.
yeah, one
Whoa. And
teacher.
I always think in my hometown, it's already a lot. If I would be a teacher, like I give speeches in schools or a lot, but I go there, give my speech, and then I leave again. So in these 2 hours when I'm there, it's easy. And I give a speech and make the thing with 50 or with 200 people. That's fine. But I don't have to manage the whole thing around it, right? With 25 children in the school, it's already quite a lot. But you have 25. That's another number.
And some of these teachers, like, yeah, I must say also, thinking about how my primary school was and how well behaved we were versus children in South Africa, I think the Netherlands could, or Dutch children could learn a lot. South
And
African
probably it's
children
also.
are very like and the teacher has to be, but they're like, yeah, way more like paying attention than I did, I would say, when I was young.
Thank you. Wow, that's a lot. And then you spoke to the teachers, you went to the schools, and you started to offer them the projects and implement them and help them that they do it, right?
So then basically we understood that we had to facilitate, and then you start working either by going to schools directly and generate, well, foster a relationship with the principal or work through other NGOs that have already established something like that. You know, in South Africa, we're also part of the Environmental Education Friends of the kind of like the Ministry of Education and Environment. So obviously they can open up doors when it comes to that. And like, I guess in our funding kind of model, very often organizations want us to go to a certain region where they have already beneficiary schools or beneficiaries that can create that access. But then it's very important that you build that relationship with the principal to really like drive change at the school. Yeah, and now I guess because then COVID came and we found out that we couldn't get into schools, and we basically realized that our project would never scale if we would always be the ones to have to facilitate it. So then we started actually licensing out our program and selling it within South Africa and other provinces, because South Africa, you know, even the Western Cape is, you know, from the Netherlands, you would be in actually in Austria easily if you just drive through the Western Cape province, which is 8 to 10 hours, right? So even in the Western Cape, we have now local implementation partners, because it's just, you know, you're not practicing what you preach if you start flying across one province to just facilitate the program. So yeah, through the license, we've been able to then start to contextualize our program to other regions and also translate it into local languages. So for South Africa, but also, you know, the countries we are, like Indonesia or Cape Verde or Madagascar, like we change the animals, we change the names, we change the language so that the children really feel that it's a homegrown program and it's not just a program that from overseas is being pushed. So yeah, so that was a really good thing because now we have all these facilitators, often youth facilitators, across the globe who are amazing storytellers and basically bring our program forward.
Yeah, that's really cool. I saw 11 countries like Europe, Asia, and Africa
Yeah.
spread. That's really amazing because your project is really getting worldwide seen, and people, kids from everywhere can participate in it and learn from it. Even from your books, I heard that you translated or are going to translate in so many different languages, and I love it. And I can't look. I mean, I'm looking forward already to be able to also tell our community that they can buy the book, the Captain Fantastic's book series, also with Sanus Pay, because I want to help this to spread. So it's really cool. So you make school programs. You make also pop-up storytelling events, gamified cleanups. What is a gamified cleanup? What is that?
It is about like, okay, for me, like when it comes to behavior change, something needs to be either inspiring or really fun because then people start to move. So in our world, obviously, of friendly pirates, you come to a cleanup or the children arrive at the cleanup, which we call a treasure hunt, and they get a treasure map. So and on that treasure map, they need to indicate what types of treasures they have found. And then they form a band of pirates together, basically, and they go on a treasure hunt in their band of pirates. And then basically within 45 minutes, you clean up a place because, and you ring the bell. We have this really old ship bell, like very much in theme, obviously. And then within 45 minutes, you clean the space because everybody is looking for treasures. And then at the end, we have these antique fish scales. So we hang their treasure on these scales and then we weigh them. And then the band of pirates with most treasure and variety of treasures on the treasure map then wins the loot or
That's
the,
really
yeah.
cool because that helps the kids to not just feel like, okay, we have to pick up trash from other
Oh
people.
no, they
Dirty stuff.
run. No, they don't care. They are like, it's, and that, I mean, it starts with the storytelling and then the learning and the innovation. And then in the action part, they really now have immersed themselves into this world and they are plastic pirates, you know, like we have them say, and you
That's
know,
really
like,
cool.
yeah, so they are very
Cool
much in that
idea.
character. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that these ideas probably also came from your work as behavioral change. How to call it? Behavioral change scientist?
Yeah, or yeah,
Yeah.
behavioral designer or behavioral
Designer.
economist. Yeah,
Well,
something
so
like
you
that.
said before that people need it needs to be fun. It needs to make sense when people need to feel something when they change.
Exactly,
So
yeah.
that's kind of your big learning and your big teaching.
Yeah.
Want to change? How? Why do they change?
Yeah. So, I mean, what I believe is that obviously words are very important. Don't get me wrong. It's very important. But I want people, if I develop projects or campaigns, I want them, like you say, first to feel something. I want them to connect or engage emotionally to what they are seeing or experiencing. And then before you go into your opinions about that topic, you can talk about, oh, this made me sad or whatever, or this made me very happy, or this was really fun. And then people first talk about their emotions before they go into talking about their opinions. And that's something that's with all my projects I really like to do, is that it's just to surprise people that, and like trigger some of their senses in a way that they are surprised about, and then they can share about like what it does with them. So, for example, with our storytelling, like with our book launch, we work together with this amazing, basically South Africa's first female black freediver. She's called Sandile Ndlovu, and she's called the Black Mermaid. So we wrote a
I
book,
know
Captain from
her.
Plastic. Yeah,
There is a movie
Captain.
about her on Water Bear.
Yeah, Water Bear. So our third book is called Captain from Plastic and the Black Mermaid, and we wanted to, basically bring in a female hero to see like, well, to see how gender roles or perspectives of children would change if we would have a female hero that would lead, which was really fun. But in general, when we launched the book, we had all these children from the township come to the Two Oceans Aquarium in Cape Town. And first of all, right, very important aspect is that they see the ocean and its wonders, because in South Africa, 15% of the population can swim. So 85% can't really engage with water systems. And yet we ask from them to protect them. And, you know, that's David Attenborough. You can't protect something that you don't care for. You don't care for something that you've never experienced. So that's a very important aspect in the program we do. Anyway, they were in the Two Oceans Aquarium, being amazed by these wonderful, you know, marine life. And the Two Oceans Aquarium, they actually rehabilitate turtles from ghost nets and plastic that they ingest. So there's a moment in the book where Finn the turtle gets stuck in a ghost net and he runs out of breath, and then he sees a mermaid-looking figure approaching. And at that moment, when my colleague Yanga was storytelling this part of the book to all these children, at the back in the tank, Zandile dove with the turtles down, and the children's minds were blown, you know, and that. Those type of engagements and connections, I feel matter and create such a lasting memory of something that it drives change. So that's something that I'm always looking for to kind of like create when we do stuff. Yeah.
I get it so much. When I observe my own change in the last years, and it's going on every day, then I really can say every time when something touched me deep in my heart, like even sometimes touched me sad on a sad way, but sometimes also in a really happy way and beautiful way, that was always the moment when I created the biggest change in my life. Every time. That's why I always want to also engage our community with learning about all of these topics, because like you said, and like David Attenborough says, you can't, I always say, look, you protect what you love. What you love, you do automatically protect, but you can't love something if you really have no clue about it, like no clue about it. Then it's quite hard to get connected to it. So that's really cool. One of your hashtags that you always use is no trash, but treasure. That's really cool because the kids learn that, hey, it's not the trash that is just supposed to be on the beach and thrown away and whatever, just used once, like you said before, the single use thing, but it's a treasure. And that's also the whole story of your treasure hunting pirates there.
Yes.
Cool. Really cool.
Yeah, and it goes further into the schools, because, and I think that is one of our big challenges, is that we obviously want behavior change to happen, but then very often the infrastructure for waste management is not there in the areas that we work, because it's often in an under-resourced area. So There's no service providers that do recycling or upcycling. So we are
Challenge,
actually, yeah, we are actually environmental education organization, and we are very good at that. But to really have the impact that we want, we have to become also waste management
order
organization or
creator.
consultancy or whatever, yeah, creator. Because we, in our theory of change, we want the children obviously to do the behavior that we teach. And you know, it's the famous story of the fisherman, like you teach him to fish, but then you don't give him a rod. So that's why in the schools we install treasure chests, which are obviously recycling bins, so that we have a what we call in behavioral science a nudge that reminds the children that they're still a little pirate and looking for treasures out there. But it also means that you then need to find a recycler, upcycler, or even train youth to become recyclers or up. So it becomes a whole, like, basically a organization on its own. But anyway, we do it with all the love that we have. Yeah, and obviously in an ideal world, we just chip into existing structures. And what we, I guess, learned was that going to single schools in specific townships doesn't work, because then service providers won't drive there. So you ha really have to have at least five collection points, so that it makes sense to add on a route, yeah, to be like sustainable and not like just a once-off thing to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
can imagine that's a big thing because of the whole infrastructure just not being there, not existing yet. So that costs a lot of money as well. I wanted to ask you also, what is it? But we have been able to donate 1,400 euros around that to the
Yeah.
project. That's kind of, it's nice. It's a nice start, but it's far away from what we want to support.
Yeah.
We want to
Yeah.
definitely support much more in future. So everybody who's listening, please help us support
Yeah.
more. But anyway, how much could you do with that money, and how much do you need for these
Yeah.
things? Like, infrastructure is another topic, so you need
Yeah.
a lot of money. But
Yeah.
what's your goals with that?
So, we have different levels, when it comes to kind of like how we adopt schools. So we have our full school program, which really like distribute literacy materials to learners, but also teachers for continuity, installs waste management systems. And to give you an idea, to adopt a school to become a Captain for Plastic school, that's like around, to do everything, that's around 2.5, let's say 2,000 euros,
1
2,500 euros.
year? No, for
Yeah, for 1 year, one school. But then we also have a light version of that, which is our Captain's Challenge, which are do-it-yourself kits. And they focus basically on literacy. So they hand out literacy materials to 100 learners. But also, so it's the storytelling and the action component of our program. So they also do a cleanup. So with that money that Sanus Planet basically sponsored, we were able to do three boxes, because those are 500 euros to reach one school and 100 learners. So we reached 300 learners, three schools. But it's really nice because it's a great way of opening the door to that school to onboard them. And we are actually working, we work together with this amazing organization called Nature Connect in South Africa. And they have, I think, over 200 schools in South Africa on their platform that are sustainable schools. And they're doing all these challenges and interventions of integrating environmental education into their curriculum. And the three best performing schools, they won the kit, the do-it-yourself kit. So it went to them. It went to different provinces, which is also really cool. So it went to KwaZulu-Natal, KZN, to Durban area, then Western Cape, and I think the third one, Gauteng, if I'm correct. Yeah.
Very cool. Amazing. I mean, I have thousands of questions. I know your time is limited today, so you have to leave soon. I have two more short questions.
Yes.
First, What can people do to support you? How can our so community support you better? I mean, donations, of course, is always helping. Are there other ways?
So I think, okay, first of all, I mean that's now more for South Africa, but hopefully in the future we also have it for the States. But if you donate, we have tax exemptions and tax deductions with our organization. So you can deduct from an organization point of view, but also from a private point of view. So your basically your taxes when donating to us. So that's a good feeling, I guess, that the tax is going there. The second thing is really about buying our products, because we often have also like buy one and gift one, for example. So we over the year we build up like a stack of books that then are donated. So I think it's something that we really want to explore maybe in the market to also put it out there. Because you will obtain the book which will make your children want to go on a treasure hunt every day. But you will also open up that opportunity for children that wouldn't have access to a book in general. So that's a big thing. And then I think the last thing is to, yeah, it sounds a bit cheesy, but it's to follow us on LinkedIn and engage with the competitions that we also run online, and we do challenges around the 5 R's. So yeah, on LinkedIn you can find us under Captain Fantastic, and then on Instagram, Captain underscore Fantastic. Yeah, and check out our website for the different opportunities. Like I said, those boxes are not a big investment, $500, and we can reach 100 children. They all get a comic book in their hands and have an amazing day where they learn about how they can protect the environment. So yeah,
Lot.
and if there's an opportunity to come to your country and you have an NGO or potentially a funder, yeah, that's what we do. We contextualize our books and we want to enter other regions.
Let's talk about that one another time. Right now, you don't have more, but let's talk about that because that's what I definitely want to do. That would be amazing. So there are many options. Everybody who was listening today, please follow these options. Do what you can. If you cannot donate, follow, interact with the post, with the challenge. Just be part of it and do step by step a little bit of help. That's amazing. And the last question, and that might be a short one, what is your message that you want to share with our community? Like your main words today, what you want the people to take with them after this podcast today?
I think what is, yeah, okay. Let me put it like this. I think when it comes to behavior change, also in your personal life, right? Like, it's the same like what we sometimes we have this other project called the Climate Diets. What I always say, like, you can't expect from people to like become vegan tomorrow or vegetarian tomorrow, right? It's just not how people work. They're in a status quo, they're in a routine. And it's the same when it comes to waste management or just like in general, like the packaging that you buy and how aware you are of that, right? You can't go from one day of buying everything in packaging to like trying to have non-packaging. So I think my message is that like don't be too harsh for yourself, because if you set too high goals, like you won't reach them, you get frustrated. Rather start by saying, vegetables or maybe cucumbers and tomatoes, I'm not accepting anymore that I buy them in single-use packaging, right? Like it's something that I can start with. And I think what will happen if you see that that goes well, that you slowly will take more steps towards it. And then like in general, like pick up one item every day if you're outside and you see something laying on the ground, if you're hiking or whatever, just pick it up, As we say in Captain Van Plastic, there's no such place as a way. If anybody can point me out on a map where a way is, where you're throwing it away, if you can point me out where that is, take me there. I'll give you all the Captain from Plastic books that I have. I don't think it exists. So,
That's a
yeah.
really cool one. Throw it away does not exist. That's amazing. Because away
Cool.
doesn't exist. Cool.
No.
Very cool. Thank you,
Cool. Thank you
Ruben,
so
for your
much.
time. That was really inspiring, and I'm happy that everybody was listening. And I hope that you all guys who were listening today or watching this even today, that you take the most out of it with you, and that you are happy as I am, that we are able to support such a beautiful project. I am definitely, and my goal is to help much more, and we will definitely manage that. So help us guys so we can help more. Thank you so much. Thanks, Ruben, for being part of this, and I wish you an amazing day. And
Thank you.
yeah, can't wait to talk to you soon again.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Bye, everyone.
Cheers.